Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Feature. I'm your host, Barry Bussey. With me today, I have Derek Sloan. Derek is no stranger to Freedom Feature. And Derek, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Barry. Thanks for having me.
So, Derek, what has been happening in the world of Derek Sloan since we last chatted, which has been some months now?
Well, you know, lots of exciting things. We most recently, Barry, some of your followers may know me as a member of Parliament. They may remember when I ran for leadership of the Conservative Party. Most recently, I've been leading a political party in Ontario called aptly the Ontario Party. And we ran 105 candidates in our 2022 election. We got 85,000 votes. And we were a real force of opposition on the campaign trail. We're excited to fight again in the next provincial election. And it's been exciting to see so many different groups and people fighting for freedom across the country in so many different ways.
So tell me, Derek, what is it about the Ontario Party that makes it different than the Conservatives?
Well, we're a party that is focused on our tagline, which is fighting for faith, family, and freedom here in Ontario. And we believe without any of those three things, we will never have the appropriate political solution. We're focused on positive sort of approaches. We're not into flinging mud or attacking other people, but we are about bringing some sanity back into politics. We had a great platform that was based on reforming healthcare, reforming the education system, reforming our housing here in Ontario, just getting the province back on track. And it did resonate with a lot of voters.
You know, the thing is, I mean, obviously, it's great to have lots of choice for people when they go to the ballot box. But a lot of people would say, well, you know, when we're looking at conservative parties, is it just if we have multiple conservative leaning parties, is that splitting the vote? And I'm sure you must have heard a lot of that over the last time in the last election, but also in a general sense.
Well, you know, we don't call the Ontario Party a conservative party per se. The definition of conservative and liberal changes over time. Our party is about the people of Ontario, and it doesn't matter what party you look at. There's lots of things that need to be changed. I mean, the present Progressive Conservative Party is still allowing our children to be indoctrinated on gender ideology and other kinds of things in the school system. They've run massive deficits. They've enabled a student crisis by permitting hundreds of thousands of foreign students to come to our schools, which is again way above statistical averages and norms. That has promoted a housing crisis, amongst many other things that have not solved some of the major issues that we've been facing in Ontario. So, you know, I don't care what they call themselves, but I don't trust the leaders of most of the mainstream parties. And I think many Canadians feel similar.
So, I mean, obviously, you mentioned about immigration. The Ontario Party, at least as I understand it, they're not against immigration, but it's about ensuring that there's an organized means of integrating and ensuring that those who come to Ontario have indeed housing, have opportunities, and I take it the Ontario Party is concerned about having more or less this orderly immigration flow, right? Is that how I understand it?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think we're at the point now where we're all on the Titanic and we're arguing about whether we like to swim. In a normal world, there is absolutely a place for immigration. But what we're seeing now, and I brought up the student situation, you know, we're seeing a situation where we have 10 times as many foreign students as we did only a few years ago. And that's only one small subsection of immigration. And as much as, I mean, I wish those students all the best, but you know, it's not helping any of us. I mean, the foreign students don't have a place to live. They're living sometimes 10 or 20 to a basement in horrible conditions. The schools are using these kids as basically revenue sources. They get to charge them a lot more money. This is just one minor example of what's going on, but it's something that the Ford government, which is in control of education in this province, they're also jointly in control of immigration with the federal government. They haven't done anything about that. And only now are you know, the federal government cutting back on some of these numbers. But we're talking about, you know, students, foreign students that have risen from, you know, a few hundred thousand a couple of years ago to almost a million. And that's on top of another million or two undocumented workers, depending on you know, which sources you're looking at, another 500,000 of regular stream immigrants. The point is that Canadians are realizing that we can't let in that quantity of people every year when we're in the midst of a housing crisis. We're seeing a productivity crisis. We're seeing that the bulk of investment over the last 10 or 15 years has gone into the real estate sector as opposed to you know, capital expenditures like plants and machines and equipment. We're seeing the slow deterioration of our standard of living. We're seeing you know, a rise in the cost of living. And many Canadians, you know, they don't necessarily know all the reasons. None of us can pinpoint every single reason. But Canadians have had enough, and they want something new. And that's what the Ontario Party stands for.
So, what would you be doing to ensure that the economy and so forth is thriving? Where are you in your platform?
Well, our platform is about basically getting government out of the way and returning to principles of normalcy when it comes to economics. So, you know, a lot of the issues that we're facing are based on policies that have pushed things out of whack. So, you know, the housing bubble has been created in part by a housing shortage. And the housing shortage has been created for multiple reasons. One, we have an immigration rate which is much higher than historical averages. Up until recently, we had the ability for anybody in the world to buy as many residential real estate units as they wanted without any cap or additional tax. So, for example, we would have wealthy people who don't even live in Canada buy up 10 or 20 or 30 apartments or condo units and then rent them out to people who live and work here. A few years ago, they implemented a tax in the Golden Horseshoe. But, you know, we have money laundering, we have foreign investment, we have an immigration system that is just letting in too many people, and it's causing our standard of living to deteriorate. And when your standard of living is deteriorating, you don't have additional capital to pay down debt or to invest in productive investments in the economy. So all of these things have compounding effects that ultimately mean you make less money where you work and it costs you more to buy your gas and your groceries. So there's a lot of things that need to change. But part of it is just being reasonable in terms of the money that you're spending as a government, in terms of the amount of immigrants and so forth that you're letting in. All of these things at the end of the day end up impacting our standard of living here in Ontario.
Then for small businesses or business, you mentioned about manufacturing. Certainly, I've noticed in Ontario, it used to be at least back 30 years or more ago, it was kind of like the capital of the country when it came to manufacturing. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. How will you be attracting further manufacturing here in Ontario?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because a lot of people feel that, you know, Ontario is still wealthy, so to speak. You know, like the average person might say, well, you know, I think the Maritimes is maybe a little slower than it used to be. You know, Alberta is doing well. Ontario is doing well. If you take a look at, you know, Ontario and compare its per capita GDP and its productivity with the other states and provinces in in America and Canada, Ontario is ranking near the bottom when you compare it to the 50 United States. I mean, we're in the same category as like Alabama and these kind of states. So we're not doing that well. No Canadian province is doing that well. Even Alberta, which is the wealthiest Canadian province, is only ho-hum in the standings versus the 50 United States. So our productivity and per capita GDP has been growing at a much slower rate. Our productivity has been declining. Our per capita GDP is not growing at the same rate as the United States. And we used to be within, even 20, 25 years ago, we used to be within, you know, a matching distance of what the United States was doing. We're not doing that anymore. People are only slowly beginning to realize this as it impacts their pocketbooks. But this is a major issue. I mean, you know, the Ford government, they're trying to bring manufacturing into Canada. But, you know, they have to pay. I mean, they had this big battery factory and so on that they're bringing in. And they had to subsidize that to the tune of whatever hundreds of millions or billions. I mean, people don't even know. They can't even count the kind of subsidies that are being paid out. So we need to create a business environment that is conducive to manufacturing. A lot of that is just, listen, lower resource costs, lower taxes, having a business climate that you know, much less red tape, having a workforce that's trained and effective. And, you know, we have very high electricity rates. That can be traced back to prior Ontario governments. We have, you know, still a lot of red tape. So there's lots of things that can be done. And, you know, we need to do that and not just pay, you know, green friendly businesses to come and set up shop in Ontario. I mean, that's not going to pay us out in the long run. You know, we'll see where things go with electric vehicles and that kind of a thing. But these are cyclical things. I mean, we saw a electric vehicle bubble a year and a half ago in COVID. And we're seeing that the consumers are tepid when it comes to those things. The hybrid vehicles seem to be going well, but, you know, the full battery electric vehicles, they're hitting a snag. And we're seeing Ford and GM pull a lot of investment out of that. We're seeing Hertz and these other companies divest from their electric fleets. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're open for, you know, market-dominated economics and not just pay for whatever the latest trend is. We need to let the market dictate which businesses, and businesses will come here if it makes sense to do so. So we just need to create that environment.
Now, what about personal freedoms? I know that's been a big part, as you mentioned, your party is interested in the issue of freedom. How does the Ontario Party, what's its key points? For example, freedom of speech.
Well, we had the most robust platform of any party when it came to freedom issues. We of course mentioned medical freedom and autonomy because you know, COVID is you know, recently in the rearview mirror and was more so recent in June 2022. We were only a few months out of vaccine mandates generally being lifted, and so, you know, we had a strong stance against forcing people to engage in medical procedures they didn't want. We also had a strong stance about free speech in our school system and in our university, on our university campuses. We had a strong stance about freedom of conscience when it came to workplace issues. So we had a very robust platform on all of those fronts, and it resonated with a lot of people in Ontario.
So you were mentioning, Derek, about your platform on universities and freedom of speech.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that professors were not, you know, being fired or intimidated for their, you know, looking into legitimate lines of academic inquiry. Wanted to make sure that events weren't being shut down on campus just because people didn't like, you know, didn't like them or had a political opposition to them. So we wanted to make sure that we were restoring freedom of speech, you know, as best as possible. So we had a great platform on freedoms, on, you know, education, getting indoctrination out of education in the elementary level. So, you know, we wouldn't let teachers talk about, you know, gender ideology or critical race theory in terms of, you know, teaching kids that there's, you know, more than two genders, or getting kids to explore trying out other genders or sexualities or whatever. I mean, this kind of thing shouldn't be in our elementary system. You know, we wouldn't let them teach that, you know, some people are fundamentally racist just by virtue of the skin color they were born with, or that some people are fundamentally and always oppressed and disadvantaged just because of their skin color, or that Canada is irredeemably racist, or like, you know, any of these things that are floating around. So we had a great policy on that, and it did resonate with Canadians.
A lot of these issues, of course, are very controversial, but it strikes me that the more controversial they are, the more we need freedom of speech so we can find out the truth of things. And I think that is something has been totally left out of the equation.
Yeah, and you know, as far as controversy, I mean, the ideas that are being taught to our kids right now are controversial. You know, the kinds of things that Ontario Party is advocating for is what Canadians by and large have and still do believe. You know, there's just a lot of new ideas that have not met the test of time that are being, you know, spoon-fed to our kids at very young ages. And I think that's just inappropriate.
I heard that there has been some issue concerning the Ontario Party's ability to be able to receive registration or something. Can you explain to me what's going on there on this?
Sure. So the Ontario Party obviously ruffled some feathers in high places, and there's various people who don't want Ontario Party existing. And so we had a series of regulatory sort of hurdles and battles that we've been undergoing the last year. Right now, the Ontario Party needs to collect about 1,000 signatures from Ontario residents who are also Canadian citizens to be able to register the party to fight again in the next election. So we actually have a link that people can fill out the form and indicate that they are in favor of us becoming a party that can fight again in the next election. So this is just a regulatory requirement that we have to do at this time. So anybody who's, you know, in favor of the kinds of things we've been fighting for, it'd be great to get their signature. It doesn't obligate them to do any kind of support for the party. It just allows us to get registered with the regulator to fight again in the next election. And we'd really appreciate it if people would just sign their signature. And Elections Ontario may reach out to them to make sure that they are a real person that has signed the paper. But if they can do that, that would be great, and would really help us getting back on the trail again.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important that people have choices when they go to the ballot box, and certainly Ontario Party is one of a number of parties in this province and needs to have its voice heard, and the people who are supporting it need to have it heard. I think that's part of our important representative democracy, rule of law, freedom of speech, you name it, it's all there. And so, by all means, we'll ensure that we have that link attached to our information below our video. So, Derek, I also wanted to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about the program whereby you're raising funds for various litigants across the country. And can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So there's a variety of cases going on right now where regular people are getting attacked by the government, whether through criminal or other sorts of charges, for basically standing up for freedom or their own conscience. And I'm doing my best through a website that is www.fundingthefight.ca. to raise awareness and money primarily for these people. So we have a lot of health professionals like nurses and doctors who are being attacked by their regulators for you know, being too forthright and honest about their opinions during COVID. We have other people like people who are at the trucker convoy who are getting criminal charges for just being there in some cases. We have a lot of different types of people that are fighting various tickets or charges, and they need help to do so. And so I, you know, have been spreading awareness about that and helping to raise money to help these cases continue.
No, and I think that's extremely important. And I know as a lawyer trying to help people, it is very difficult because of funding. And these people are often in a no-win situation because they've lost their employment, some of them, and it's very difficult to hire legal counsel. And so the work that you're doing with respect to that, and plus all of your followers, those who are paying attention to what you're doing, is admirable, because we need to have these cases in court so that the courts themselves can work their way through the issues and be able to ensure that justice is not only done, but seen to be done. Derek, I know that we're kind of out of time right now, but is there anything else you would like to share with our viewers who are watching Freedom Feature on a weekly basis? Any final comment?
You know, I think it's important for us to get involved in any way that we can. And it may not be, it may not be, not everyone may be able to, run for political office or even get involved in politics. But if you can get involved in some way in your local area, helping us get the Ontario Party registered again, it's an easy thing to do. You just sign a piece of paper, and that's basically all you have to do. So there's a lot of little things that can go a long way. If you don't have time to support someone, maybe you can share a little money. There's Bury Your First Freedoms organization. It's a great organization, fundingthefight.ca. We raise, many thousands of dollars for people across the country. There's lots of things to do with time, and if you don't have time, there's things you can do with money. Get involved in some way. That's my message to people, and you'd be surprised at what you can do.
Okay. Well, that is excellent and a great message indeed.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, right on. Excellent. I want to thank you for the great work that you're doing and being willing to be on the front line, speaking up to the issues. It takes a lot of bravery. You're doing it in style. I appreciate very much, Derek, your approach. So I thank you for being with us, and I want to thank you, our viewers, for taking this time. As we deal with the issues, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of money to be able to do the work that needs to be done. And so, for those of you who are been supporters of the Ontario Party needs some help right now to get back into registered status with Ontario Elections or Elections Ontario. And also here on First Freedoms, we appreciate your support to help us keep going from week to week. And until next time, I'm Barry Bussey. The fight for freedom consists not only in the legal battles in court, but also in the battle of ideas at the universities and in the media. It takes time, effort, and money to keep on top of the debates for freedom. Your donation allows us to keep fighting for all Canadians. firstfreedoms.ca.